Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and this week, my boy B-Shab returns. We got to take a trip with good old producer Jack, director Jack, and head to L.A., the center of hell in the U.S., and do a bunch of interviews this past week, which was fantastic. We had an incredible time. We had a great group of support. Todd Grub joined me behind the camera to help Jack and me. My brother-in-law, Sean, shout out to those two guys. And, of course, shout out to Jack. This week was insane. We sat down with William H. Macy, with Adam Devine and Blake Anderson, and, of course, Cameron Monahan. So, I just, man, what a week. So, to get started off, this week's episode, I sit down with Brendan Schaub, his co-host Chappelle Lacey, and his producer Chin in Los Angeles to talk whiskey, to talk drinks, and before we get in too deep, let me be clear about something. Chappelle is dry. He doesn't drink. And he already mentioned it on this week's episode of T-Fat K. Shout out to you guys. Thanks for the shout out on T-Fat K. I want to be clear. The discussion around drinking or getting back into drinking is a tricky one. It's a slippery slope. And I don't want this week to be perceived as me encouraging an ex-alcoholic. But we do talk through it and talk about how great it is. And of course, they knew that coming into the show. So shout out to Chappelle Lacey. Go to tfatk.com to check out their tour dates. I know they're going to be in West Palm Beach at the end of the month. And of course, San Marcos. They've got a lot of things going on. So without further ado, please welcome Brendan Schaub, Chappelle Lacey, and Chin Su Yi.
Are you a whiskey? Definitely a whiskey guy now, especially since with Brendan and his brother Jay.
Yeah.
He got me into actually sipping Japanese whiskey. So then I started getting into Irish whiskey. I'm drinking Jameson basically every single day now.
Sure.
Which is just, you know, an old classic. But
yeah. I've actually got there's a new Irish whiskey. We can actually start with this. So Waterford, there's this beautiful Scotch distillery on a small island off the coast of Scotland called Brookladdy. Peated whiskey, if you're not into that, may not be your thing. But the guy that brought that distillery back started an Irish whiskey distillery that's all single farm, single origin, like non-GMO, that sort of thing. So 100 proof Irish whiskey would be a good start. And this is called Waterford, and this is actually fantastic. You want to hand me your glass?
Sure. Better or worse than Proper 12?
Proper 12 is proper garbage, and I mean that.
What's Proper 12?
I love Connor, but
it's Connor McGregor. Me, I also love him, but if you're like a real whiskey dude,
that's not the whiskey.
No.
Yeah. So, and I don't know that it's public official knowledge, but the distillery that makes Proper 12 is Bushmills, and Bushmills is great, but they're not going to sell their good stuff to another brand. You know what I mean?
But then also the other thing you got to understand too, which is also brilliant with Connor, it's like. But that's not for guys like us, who drink all the time. That's like, it's like
for people that
it's the daily
it's
stuff.
It's like Seagram 7. It's just like, you know, it's like the
well would be a good word.
Yeah, well,
yeah, there you go. That's what I feel.
It's
like
the bottom shelf.
Cheers, boys.
With respect.
Cheers, guys.
Cheer that titty.
Cheering on this titty. Get off.
Cheer that tit.
Get off of that.
Get off my titty.
Very nice meeting both of you guys. I'm super excited to meet Chappelle and Chin. I've been a huge fan. I saw that music you played. I just commented on it. It was ridiculously
good.
Thank
you. I just
did you post a new video?
Yeah.
What?
Just a cover of Jelly
Roll, right?
Just a quick one.
Oh, dope.
To promote the album.
Because the King the Sting album officially dropped this morning.
Yeah.
iTunes, Spotify, all streaming services. And it's so fucking good, man.
Yeah,
listen, so good. I'm proud of a lot of things, but this just really gets me.
It just launched.
So I see the way you're rubbing that leg.
I know, right? Calm down, buddy.
I'm so pumped about it.
It's so good.
It's so good because my thing, like,
your pants are too tight for that. Because
Little Brows, man, Austin, he's so goddamn talented. So, you know, we were Mike Studd, Jelly Roll, fucking
Paul Wall.
We got a bunch of features on it. And you'll see, like, obviously those guys have made it and, you know, they make a living doing music. But you'll see that Little Brows is just as fucking talented as those.
Yeah, he holds that. Well,
he's so talented. I told him, I said, my goal for you is get out of your 9-to-5 and be a full-time musician. Man. He's so talented. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of that dude, man. Because the story how he got started is he went to Chick-fil-A and they were closed. And then we were doing just fucking around doing a white rapper contest in King of the City. So he's like, fuck it, I'll send it in, and just goes on a freestyle. And we're like, oh, this is dope. So he won the contest over months and months and months. He won the contest and then just became part of the crew. Mm-hmm. And then we all had the idea. We're like, dude, we should do a Cats album. And then here we are.
Literally no one could beat him.
Not even
close. No one was
so far ahead of everyone. Like, so
it was insane. And it was like, and we kept throwing it out there for people to, like, you know, try to annihilate him, but no one could do it.
No one could beat it.
No one. So proud of that, dude.
And well, I listened to Chappelle's song, and that was the one that I, like, fully paid attention. I mean, now obviously you guys have talked about him before, but the music is legitimate.
Yeah. That's the thing about it. Like, it could have been, like, bad. It could have been, like, something raggedy, but it's actually a great product.
Yeah, I wouldn't get behind it if some, you know, if it was like real, like, jokey stuff like that.
Yeah,
like, if that Thick Boy anthem with Jelly Roll and Mike Studd, we're gonna do a music video in January, February for it. COVID fucked that up, but it's so fucking good, and I genuinely think we're gonna make Billboard Top 100.
Oh,
wouldn't that be just
that'd be dope?
That'd be insane.
That's what I expect, though.
It would be absurd.
Yeah, that's how proud you are, right? That's how much you believe in it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah, I'm so proud of that.
I wanted to, speaking of Chick-fil-A, I wanted to talk to you guys in your diets.
Huh?
Let's talk about
how
this.
Long will you pretend you and I are still on
the diet? I know, right? Listen.
No, I told my girl last night.
Listen, I've cut myself off.
I'm an enabler. I'll give you that. But I told my girl last night, I went, for real, I'm starting keto. Like, I'm starting keto. Today's my first day of keto. Yeah.
Again, yeah.
The keto kid is back.
You know what I think messed us up with the diet? Is we teamed up. And he and I, we literally eat the exact
We like the same shit.
Teaming, like, up's the worst, because if he breaks, then you're like, yeah, I'll break.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, the homie's breaking. Like, well, yeah, we're
but
good.
We'll sit down on the road and, like, I'll just be like, damn, dog, look at that biscuits and gravy. Yeah. Like, that's what I was looking at. I'm like, you gonna get it? And then I'll be like, I'll get this, you get that.
Yeah.
Shit,
you know? Yeah, you come through Houston and Truth Barbecue wants to throw 10 pounds of barbecue at you.
I mean, I'll quit the diet for that.
But my thing is too, like, when we're on the road, I'm like, I don't have a competition coming up. Like, I'm gonna live a little bit.
Sure. But you know what? We don't eat, like,
I eat clean
that
at
much,
home.
We don't eat that much throughout the day when we're on the road.
No,
if
we
you really think about
once
it.
Once a day, usually.
Yeah, once or twice a day, usually when we eat on
the road.
Well, let me throw an idea to you that I found last week. So
let's hear it, because we need it.
Right at the beginning of COVID, Todd and I were on a weight loss challenge, and I think I hit 27 pounds in 2 months.
Oh, shit.
Daddy.
That's legit. I sit at 240. You know, I'm a little, I'm a very dense, like you, you're very dense.
Dense, yeah.
And, the trick, this is a trick for quick, horrible weight loss suggestion.
Winstrol?
Go to Chick-fil-A and you get their kale crunch side salad, the large one.
Yeah.
Order like 3 of them and just eat. And kale is so thick and hearty, it sits with you for fills hours. You up. It fills you up for like the whole day.
But you don't feel like disgusted.
I don't
you,
feel
why
disgusted.
Why would you do that at Chick-fil-A though? Why don't you just make your own kale sandwich?
Because
I want to be tempted with that delicious chicken sandwich and the smell. Like, you're like, kale.
He's trying to give you guys advice
on top of that kale sandwich.
I help you guys out.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, his result is right here.
So I lost 7 pounds in 2 days. And I was drinking water and I
ate it every day.
All I did was eat 3 of those 2 days in a row.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up the third day and because I weigh myself every morning and every night. 7 pounds.
Do you drink at night too?
Oh, every night.
Every night.
Did you know Chin used every to night. Be, what, 300?
Brennan always says 300, but.
I did know
it's not 300?
I did know that, but I don't see it.
You're 289 or some shit?
285 at
my 300.
I was shorter too back then too.
Oh, yeah. What are you now? You're 6'4", huh?
6'3", 6'2". I think I'm 6'2", but everyone says I'm 6'3".
No,
I
feel like you're taller. 6'7". Okay. You're 6'7".
You're at least 6'3".
You're the biggest Korean in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least one of the taller ones. But yeah, so your question was...
Wait, you were 289?
285.
But how did you lose yours?
It's just every... You know, when I was in high school, I don't know if you guys remember Slim Fast.
Yeah.
So I remember
and Atkins and the pre-keto. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was right.
Kirstie Alley or whatever.
Yeah. I used to try that. That nothing worked. The only thing that worked was literally just eating less. And then your body adjusts. You're not as hungry. You're not craving the bad foods. And just, you know, stay away from carbs when you
don't I just don't digest, like thick kale salad as fast. Like it stays with me all
so
day.
So fills you up. That's
I stayed
good.
Full and it was delicious and savory. And
you're not a tired almonds full, on though. It.
No, not like miserably full. Not like when you eat too much barbecue where you just feel... heavy.
Yeah, I love that.
But I filled up. I didn't eat till like noon. I had three of those. That's a good one and then too. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this again tomorrow. And I just, the day three, woke up 7 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah, so I need so to wait, do
you were like fasting?
No. I did. I normally
like in the morning?
I don't eat right away. Right. I normally wait 10 noon somewhere. Yeah, in there. Yeah. But I know that when you have more on your bones, it's easier to lose a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but it's only calorie deficit wise. It was like 500 calories for those three salads.
Yeah.
And that's all I had for 2 days, and that was all it took.
Man. I need to get on that.
And there's a lot of fibers. You were
talking all that shit about it. He's like, why? I'm tempted to get the chicken salad.
I need to try it.
But yeah.
Because one of the reasons I do nicotine patches is it helps you with hunger. Like you don't get hungry on nicotine. And
oh,
caffeine.
Does it really?
Yeah. That's why I drink so much coffee, so much nicotine.
Mm-hmm, get on these.
Yeah, don't relapse on that, dog.
Yeah. Ooh, it smells good, though.
Oh, they're delicious.
You don't do, I know you don't do booze. You don't do any tobacco or anything? Like you?
No tobacco.
You do cold turkey on all the stuff?
No, I do weed. Like I'll smoke a joint like every once in a blue moon.
Did you get my gummies I sent you guys when you were in Dallas?
Yeah. And our boy Justin, who's on the road with us, Justin Elliott, he ate all of them.
I will not do it.
The one that is always in trouble?
Yeah. The chubby chaser.
Yeah.
His DMs are great because since we outed him as a chubby chaser, dude.
He's
the thickest girls you've ever seen in his DMs.
And he's always saying thank you to us.
Yeah,
I'm surprised I didn't talk about that with Potter. Do you guys know what Segura did for Potter?
Not exactly.
I watched the whole episode and was like, please bring this up. Josh Potter basically he put it out there in private, and then Tom brought it up on the podcast. Basically saying he can't finish with a woman, like he can't. When you know, do the deed, and when it's done, he'll finish himself off.
What a nightmare! And, what a psychopath.
Dr. Drew's been trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Tom put out there a campaign. If anyone wants to help him solve this problem, and when they would go on tour, Josh was crushed. All these women flooded his inbox and was like. And so they would come in to do updates like, hey, you know, how did it go in Detroit?
Yeah.
One girl finally made it happen.
Wow, what a soldier.
But it was soldier. It was a unique circumstance. So he's like, it technically happened, but maybe we should try to confirm the theory before we give up on this.
Did they show the girl?
No. But basically a lot of women.
Detroit warlock.
Just, a lot of
I know, right?
Just a fucking just Detroit fucking, lion linebacker. Just fucking.
There was a whole campaign of women submitting their videos of suggestions.
Wow.
And one girl brought in a friend and she's like, if you choose us, I'll bring my friend with me. And Tom flew them out to meet him at one of his shows in Canada so that they can test.
That's a fine line. I know. Especially in this culture. That's a fine line.
But he was.
I don't want to be part of that.
Josh was like, thank you so much.
Yeah,
like,
good for him, man.
Well, it's well documented.
Josh is a good dude.
Oh, he couldn't be a nicer guy, man.
He's great.
He couldn't be a nicer guy. All right, so what'd you think of the Irish?
I loved it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Can I at least smell it, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Get that glass. Don't smell it, though. I'm telling you.
He just smelled it.
Smells good.
That's nice.
So okay, I'm gonna pour the next one. I want to talk to Chappelle about this. So I know you basically gave up alcohol because you were going deep on it, right? So,
yeah. And I was just like, the thing was, is like, I wasn't. I mean, and it's so funny because everyone like thinks they're you have to be crazy, crazy, crazy with alcohol. But I was just like, for me, it just made me really sad. You know what I mean?
You were trying to fill a void?
Yeah, I was trying to fill a void.
Yeah, with alcohol.
With alcohol. You know what I mean? And it's not like I was fucking smashing a bottle and then like getting behind the wheel and like, fuck yeah. No, it wasn't that.
Yeah, you weren't having fun.
Yeah, I was just trying to fill a void.
But so your career, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is a insane
law. I'm just kidding.
There's this insanely awesome law firm out here in California called the Simon Law Group.
Smells good.
These guys did a single. Remember how I told you I'd set you up with a single barrel pick?
Yeah.
Because you said Rogan started you, right? Rogan basically taught you do a shot of Jack Daniels before your show, and that's what started you.
Correct.
This is a single barrel of Jack Daniels, but not the barrel proof. I know the barrel proof is too hot for you. This is 90 proof. And this law firm, I set them up. They got to do a barrel selection of Jack Daniels, and that's their thing.
I had something similar
that's
to this.
Smoother,
I had something similar to this in Nashville. Jelly dropped this off. I sent you a picture. I think.
Yeah, but that was the cash drink.
Yes,
that was too hot. You know, so this
it was still good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was faded.
This is the 90 proof version, or at 47%. So this is just normal lower level Jack Daniels is not that great.
No,
but single barrel and barrel proof is very well respected in the whiskey world. They're both fantastic.
That's the thing. Any city we do, I get all their local whiskey now. You see, I always post pictures of the local whiskey. Like when I was in Montana,
you're in Montana, you
I had
sent me pictures.
9 different whiskeys. It's fantastic.
And you put a dent in them too.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What were we talking about? Oh, all right. So
relapsing.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah.
You want me to?
No, no.
You want me to do it?
I will say this. It does.
You want
make
me to do
me,
it?
Are we recording? Yeah. Okay. Sweet. I had a couple doctors on from the Baylor College of Medicine to discuss what is an alcoholic. And I think there's a lot of misunderstandings around what really is an alcoholic. And I told you this, drinking every day is not even a sign of alcoholism. It's not good for you.
Sure.
Just like eating fast food every day is not good for
you. Sure.
But there's 10 or 12 signs, I always forget, of red flags. If you have 3 to 5 of these red flags, you are technically an alcoholic.
All right, lay it on me. Come on.
All right, so
I quit. Yeah, I didn't go to no meetings like that. What's up, homie?
So if you want to slow down, like, oh, I've been drinking every day, I should take a couple days break, and you can't, or it's difficult, that's a red flag.
Okay.
If you say, all right, I'm gonna go out for one drink, and you end up drinking longer and more, those are two separate flags.
All right, keep
going.
You're
like, all right, I'm gonna be home by 9. I love you, wife. I'll be home by 9. I'm just gonna have one beer, and you're out till 3 a.m. Those are concerns.
That's a problem. Yeah.
So binge drinking is like more than 4 drinks in a sitting,
no,
like in an evening.
I don't do any of that.
So there's some concerns, but honestly, all of those are reset every year. So if you a year from now and you've been off it for a while,
yeah, like 7.
Yeah, if you can handle a drink, and here's the thing, those watching, don't inbox me or give me a hard time. I'm not trying to make you relapse.
Yeah, exactly. This ain't about you. Yeah. This is about me right now.
I'm not trying to make you relapse, but there.
No, you're good.
There's a lot of beauty in spirits that I think is a lot of fun. And
I think so 100%. But like the thing, yeah, that was the thing too. Like I would like, you know, it was the that part where we like
too much.
I'm gonna have one drink.
You couldn't cut it off,
bro. I could not cut off.
Don't you think now you're in a better place?
Yeah, you're different. Your mindset.
Because that's why.
Because I don't get crazy.
But that's why I'm in a better place, though.
Because you don't touch it.
Because I don't touch it.
Your career's different. You also got a beautiful. You're not engaged yet, right?
No.
No. But
look at you. What are you trying to do?
Get married.
Yeah,
drink
chill,
alcohol.
Man.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
She was talking about having that talk this morning. She was like, "Yeah, let's talk about some future stuff."
Love is tight, man.
Come on, who we can there?
I know. How long we got?
How long you pretend that you're like holding out?
I know. Like I'm in my early 20s. No, I'm too young.
Love is tight. Love is
love
tight.
Is tight. Love is tight.
Love is tight.
I mean, you're in a different place now. I mean, on top of T-Fat-K being like the most culturally diverse podcast I know, right?
You guys, I'm the only white guy. Yeah.
You guys, but are you?
I'm the closest to white on the show. Yeah.
But also, you guys hire like mentally, you know, medically handicapped people too. So I mean, it's you guys have a really Malik's had a stroke, right?
Malik.
I mean, the way
he fucking talks like it.
The way he pronounces words, I just assumed,
I was like,
grammar isn't as strong.
Gymnastics.
I just assumed he had like Bell's palsy or something.
Something.
He's like, I can freestyle.
Yeah, I was like, what did you say?
Please don't.
Oh, you can play drums.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know why you said he could play.
I know.
Like, he's so adamant about saying he could play.
He's hilarious.
You know what's funny? So the first time I met Malik is before you just started bringing him on the road. Last time you guys came through, I met him in Houston. And I'm still like learning to talk to comics and celebrities, like texting. I feel a little awkward and a little self. I mean, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You're loose with the term celebrities, but yeah, Karen.
But you feel a little. You overthink things, right?
Sure.
I sent Malik a message once, and I was like, dude, I love the way the podcast has developed, and this is before it was trending on the podcast, I was like, you should come on the show next time you come through. And he was like, say less. And I was like, did I say too much? Like, what? Like, I'm bruh. Like, what?
You know what's so funny? I was like, what's so funny is I have a joke about that, and it's based off him. Like, I have this joke about my first black friend.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is based off Malik. Because he was the first person I met when I moved out here.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
So that whole joke is based
off overthought. I was overthinking it, and I didn't realize it was like a... Like, I know now.
Did I give him too much?
Yeah. I was like, I'll say less. I'm sorry. But yeah. I'm like, don't think him. You know, I overthink it. You know, I did the same thing with you. I actually sent you a message on Instagram and was like, I had a couple drinks.
Oh.
And I was like,
did I write back?
No.
Oh, I feel bad.
But I'll tell you, don't feel bad.
Shut your ass up.
Don't feel bad. I was talking, me and Brendan were texting about how the show has blossomed into this awesome dynamic. The way that the show has developed is
by the way, great. I love Blossom.
Yeah,
it's keep going. Of course. Yeah. But I sent you a message, and what I meant to say was, I love the new dynamic. And I went back and looked at it, and it said, I love the Jew dynamic. And I, and then I
saw it, and I was like, man, I ain't Jew.
I'm like, man, there's no Jews on there. That's the one thing we don't have.
It was a complete typo, and I was like, maybe that's why he didn't respond. I'm just going to delete this. I unsend
it. It is weird when you overthink. I did it with Tony Hinchcliffe just a few weeks ago because he played somewhere in Austin, and he didn't have my new cell. And I text him, and he just got done doing Rogan. He's, like, super paranoid about things, just with people and, you know, fame and shit. And I text him, and he goes, who's this? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
I forgot you don't have my number. It's Brendan. He goes, Brendan who? I go, how many fucking Brendans do you know? And then he didn't believe it was me. And then I said, like, it's Brendan Schaub, dude. Like, fucking blah, blah, blah. And then he didn't respond. I'm like, oh, he's mad at me. He's mad. And I started going, I'm like, why would he be mad at me? I'm like, oh, maybe it's because of this or the way I said this about him. Or maybe I roasted him on something. I'm like, maybe he's upset.
Sure.
So I hit up Jeremiah Watkins, who's like his best friend and opener, and just killed Tony with him. Like, hey, is Tony mad at me? He's like, fuck no. Why would Tony be mad at you? And then Tony texts back. He's like, yo, I thought you were like a troll pretending to be Brendan Schaub. I'm like, no, dude, it's me.
Yeah
it's weird though.
Completely overthink it, man. And it's same thing with TJ Miller. I felt it's weird texting him.
Because
he's kind of known to at times be a little hot-headed, and I'm like, spicy. I'm overthinking it.
It is weird.
You get used to it.
Message me again.
Try it again.
Try it again.
Don't call him a Jew.
Without the Jew part.
Try it again. Leave out the Jew part. No. It's weird. So ever since I met Brendan, I would say we're friends.
We're friends.
Yeah, we text quite
boys.
A bit.
I wouldn't be here if we weren't. I don't really do other podcasts.
The show. He texted me, he's like, have you seen the show lately? I was like, dude, I'm watching it. I used to binge it. I would catch up and go back and watch it.
And that's why I asked you, because I know you're a fan of
the
show.
It's so good. Well, I've been rooting for Malik from the beginning.
Yeah.
We have similar backgrounds, very straight edge, growing up. Growing up, alcohol was a no. Like, super against it. The Bible, it's a sin. My grandmother throws it at me every now again. But it's not a stigma in our house. Our girls, they don't want to do shots. They don't have any. I like that because when I was young, I was like you. I'd go hard.
And but then, is it because you couldn't? You know what I'm saying? Like you tell someone don't do this. I'm like, I gotta check it out.
Our culture in America is to just tear into it.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
Houston. I grew up in Houston, but Pasadena.
Pasadena. Okay.
And, alcohol was no, and I had an uncle who's a real piece of shit. You know.
Yeah.
And then. The kids now, like, it's such a normal thing in our house. And you've seen my collection.
Yeah, it's great.
We're sitting on, like, 1,000 bottles.
Yeah.
You know? And the kids, they have no interest in it.
See?
Which is great.
Man, that's wild. Because, like, yeah, when I think about it now, like even when I quit, I never thought of, like, alcohol, like, oh, no one should do this. You know what I mean? I wasn't, like.
Not your own issue.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah. It's, I made it completely about me. Me quitting has nothing to do with anyone else.
Yeah,
you
took ownership in it.
Yeah. Because, so, like, when people are, like. You know, is it okay if I drink around you? I'm like, motherfucker, it's you. Yeah. It's not me.
You go on the road with me, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm around it, like, all the time.
Do they ever pressure you?
No, they never. No one's ever.
I don't think I've ever offered you
a drink. No one's ever offered me a drink. Never. And
that's awesome. And like, I'm over here trying to talk you out of it.
Yeah, right?
Such a dick.
But,
no.
Like, I do get a little bit of anxiety at the bars because they're like, you
if
know,
it's really crowded, you and I are the same though. We don't like crowded areas.
Yeah, it's the crowd. And then I just start rethinking about all the shit that I was doing. Yeah. And it just gives me the anxiety. So, like, you know, I just exit myself out of the equation. It's not like I'm going to go, yo, bars need to create something for people that don't drink anymore.
Yeah, just keep your ass out of the bar.
Yeah, just keep your ass out of the fucking bar.
Yeah, but to your point with firing the kids, and I told you this, and Chin knows this real, probably better than anybody, I was going to stop doing the show. I was going to shut things down.
Yeah, I'm glad
and
you
then
didn't.
And then I tossed a Hail Mary and put Chappelle and Malik in there. I was like, man, that's the first time I've had fun in a year probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so we talked about this, and I don't remember, it may have been Dane Cook, but the every you think about legendary people in Hollywood, Jack Black is up there, right?
For sure.
Adam Sandler's up there. Mm-hmm. There was a moment in time in the 2000s where Adam Sandler was seen as washed up. Jack Black, his career has ebbed and flowed, where he's not as respected. The key is resilience. You have to keep pushing forward. Yeah. Change it. But I'm so glad you didn't give up on
and
the
show. And that's where I was at. I was like, man, I'm, like, firing the kid got me out of fighting, got me out of, like, it's brought so much joy to my life. It got me started in stand-up. I'm like, and I remember I was in bed. I couldn't sleep at all. I was like, this is how I go out, man? Like, this is, like, don't get me wrong. I got King Singing. I got Blow
so
the Bell.
Sad too.
I got touring. But with firing the kid, it's like, this is how it goes out? And then there's, like, the, you know, because I talk about how scared I was to fight. But I do have a huge fighter spirit in me. So I was like, man, there's no way we're going out like this. And then that's where I called up Chappelle and Malik. I was like, hey, you guys want to do Fire and Kid tomorrow? And then they're like, yep. And then I had a great time. Like, hey, you guys want to do it Wednesday? Like, yep. And then just kept going. And I don't look at reviews. I don't look at comments. I don't see them. I don't look at downloads anymore. I don't look at anything.
I
don't look at anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell my brother, I go, how people feel. And he goes, dude, they're digging it.
A 180.
Yeah.
A 180. So there's several Facebook groups out there that have also in support of, you know, Your Mom's House has a Facebook group. King of the Sting has one. Everyone was just complaining about it. And
Which I get.
But here's
my thing. I don't need to see that, and I know. Because I wasn't having fun. It's not a knock on Josh Wolf or Mike Catherwood. I love those fucking guys, and I owe Josh so much because he was the only comic who would come on the show. That's what people don't understand. It's not that that I didn't want to continue to do the show with funny people. A lot of them didn't want to come on because there's such a – we were blackballed for, you know, obvious reasons, which I get. Which I've gotten over now, but you know, I knew when Malik and Chappelle came on, like, oh, this I could do this.
Yeah,
I could do this.
Well, and the history that you have with Malik is clear, and so there's a lot of even the way you're seated, it feels like you are the connector, the connective tissue between Malik and Brendan, and then of course you all get each other and you have a great rapport. But
yeah,
I hate to beat this to death, but I it's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
No, I mean, like, the wild thing is, like, when I think about mine and Malik's history, like, we met like pretty much like my second week of living in LA, you know what I mean? And like, we would just, you know, hit the mics, you know, and all this stuff. And you know, he was so early in the game. Like, he's only been doing comedy like 3 years. He's super young in the game, but he just has this thing about him that's just like
super high energy.
Super high energy. Fun.
Lies a lot.
He's the best opener though.
Yeah,
not that, like, other openers.
Oh, I saw him.
And the energy that he has. He did one show with me, or I'm sorry, me, Brian, and him did a show together, and I watched his set because I really didn't know him.
We did Phoenix.
We did Phoenix and then we did San Antonio. He came to San Antonio.
He also came to Houston.
He came to Houston, but Houston was the first one. And I watched the set because Brian was like, yeah, he has this energy. So I watched him, like, holy fuck, dude. And then we just hit it off right away.
Oh, yeah. No, you, because Malik actually hit me up and was like, yo, Brendan fucks with me. I was like, oh, shit. You know, because at first he did.
So excited. That innocence.
You liked him.
It's not that I didn't like him, but when I hear he's been doing it for 2 years and he's open for Brian, you know, and so I was just like, and then, you know, they told me he was like holding mitts for Brian. I was like, oh, well, Brian's bringing him on the road to have a mitt guy. So I didn't take him serious.
Got it.
And then when I saw him.
You hear that, Malik?
When me and Malik were hanging out. And then what's funny is Malik and my brother are really close. Really close.
Super close.
Really. Like, they should have their own podcast.
Yeah.
They talk about sports, like,
on
the road.
The arguments.
Do you notice? Yeah, I'm going to call you out now, Malik. Do you notice when, because we'll do a city, and then that Sunday when we leave, I'll be like, all right, fellas, and I give them the next date. And then, you know, me, Malik, and Chappelle will all leave. But Malik hugs Jay.
Then.
And then he never gives me a hug, though. He's always like, all right, Shab, I'll see you later. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? All right,
Jay, man.
Yeah, Jay, dog, I love you, man. I'm like, no, fuck this, dog. No, but yeah, those guys saved the show.
Yeah, and that's what's so great, too, because it's now, and I hate to say it's your time to shine, but it just kind of fit.
Chappelle?
Perfect. Well, both of you.
Chappelle's listen, and I'm not saying it's because Chappelle's going to be so much bigger than I am. Chappelle's going to be, he's the next big thing out of L.A. You know, I'm riding his coattails, man. It's just a matter of time. He's doing his own headlining gigs. You know, I've never believed in anybody more in comedy than Chappelle.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And there's a reason why I fuck with Chappelle.
You're the only one I haven't seen do stand up either.
Monster.
In person.
Monster. Yeah, I took a page out of Joe Rogan, Joey Diaz book where you book monsters in front of you, so it ups your game.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of guys that sandbag, so they're the main event and they look so much better, but it's tough to follow this
guy. It's kind of a shortcut.
Yeah, and there's a reason why I do that. It's just, you know, I listen to Joe Rogan, man. He tells me his game plan, and then I do the same. So I book a monster in front of me.
Speaking of doing the same, and we'll crack into this. I've got a Texas whiskey that we picked for the show.
Oh yeah,
fuck, single barrel.
Look at that timing.
Hell yeah.
So this is hot. 65.5%.
Let me smell it.
It's a single.
Do you like that shit, Jim? The real heavy.
So far.
But do you like the real high proof? Like he fucks with high proof, all that stuff.
I'll go light on the pores. So
thick Tiger's 90 proof.
Okay. It's all right, we talked about it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I wasn't sure if you announced
it. But you're a Jameson.
Oh, yeah. It's going to drop in February.
I'll go light the pour here.
Because it's so heavy?
So speaking of cut, yeah, it's real heavy, real thick.
Hey, let me smell
that. Smell that alcohol?
Single malt. Yeah, single malt.
Bro.
I'll tell you, the trick with drinking whiskey neat is to take smaller and smaller sips until you can get used to it.
Yeah.
And then you'll naturally start taking larger sips.
Yep.
I mean, it's really that simple.
I mean, I drink every night. Every night I drink. I watch Love Island with my girl.
But see, you
I put a nicotine. I have one glass of whiskey.
How many do you have like a triple, quadruple
shot.
So, you know, here's the thing. Why I might be a little bit more on the alcoholic side, because sometimes I'll be like, I'll just take a shot of Jameson and then I'll sip the rest.
You know what I mean, that's fun.
Get your buzz on, though.
Yeah, well, I want to get it done. Yeah, like,
you take the wall down and then you just kind of enjoy yourself.
Got it. But you're not like,
I don't get drunk.
But you know how it is, like, as a dad, like, there's nothing better when I come home with my kids and stuff like that. And we got a 1-year-old and he's a critter now. He's walking and crawling all over the place. We got gates up. And then you put both kids to bed and then it's just like this relief. Yeah. Like,
it's called decompression.
Yeah.
Man.
And then I pour a shot.
You said that.
I felt it in my heart.
As a dad, though, it's like, ah, oh, fuck yeah. Like they're asleep. And I pour the whiskey. I put on my show.
Oh my God.
Like it's the best thing in the world.
So that is exactly our routine. We've got four in the house, right? So about 7 p.m. now.
Yep.
They go down.
Same.
And for the first 30 minutes, our TV's not even on.
Yep.
We just pour ourselves some whiskey. My wife and I, my wife drinks as much as I do, which is fantastic.
Wow.
We did it together. We got into it together.
Yeah.
And we will just in silence for like 30 minutes. I'm like, you want to watch something? Speaking of which, I want to talk to you about Banshee.
You said that before. You told me before.
So you know who you watch The Boys, Amazon Prime, The Boys?
Yeah,
no, I haven't.
It's a superhero show, but it's about like...
Oh, you lost me.
Me too. I don't fuck with superhero stuff. But to your point, though, like my agent, Todd Feldman, knows I don't fuck with like superhero stuff, and it's like Spider-Man. But he told me, he's like, you need to watch The Boys on Amazon. And he goes, it's superhero, but hear me out. And he says it's fucking great. Yeah.
So it's basically if we were really, if our society actually had superpowers, we'd be all pieces of shit.
Oh, we would be.
Yeah. So the main bad guy is a guy named Homelander. And he's a real psychopathic piece of shit. He knows who you are. I talked to him. I'm on the show.
Oh, dope.
And I was like, I was talking about something and I mentioned you. And he goes, Brendan Schaub. I was like, you know Brendan Schaub? I did a little, we're friends.
Yeah, it's my boy. We are boys.
We're boys. But he knew you were. Yeah. And there was a point to this. Banshee.
Yeah.
So he did a show before he blew up where basically the premise is this, and I know you'll watch it. We binged it in a month. My wife and I, we watched 2 or 3 episodes a night. He's a thief, part of a team of people who steal. He goes to prison for 15 years, gets out. His girlfriend at the time has moved on. She's already gotten married. And he goes back to find her in the small town. And he ends up going to a bar for a drink of whiskey. And this is the premise. I'm not ruining it. Spoiler. But the new sheriff in town, gets into a bar fight and dies. And he just fills the void. He takes over his identity, becomes the new sheriff of town.
Oh, I've heard of
it. Say less. I'm
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
yeah.
To quote Malik, say less. I'm in.
You'll text me by episode. And the great thing about it is you remember Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
So they would take, the way Game of Thrones would work is they would take episodes to get gratification, right? Mm-hmm. You wanted to see that little shit Joffrey get killed.
Yeah.
And it took like 3 seasons before they finally killed the guy.
Yeah.
Opposite. They immediately give you the gratification you want. And there's episode 2 or 3, there's a UFC fighter or an MMA fighter who's a real piece of shit that he has to fight. And it is the most gratifying fight scene.
Love it.
I'm telling you.
I'm in, dude.
You got to watch Banshee.
Say less.
What's it on?
So it was an international show that I think it was on Stars or something. Yeah, it was like a no one watched it. And you go back and watch it now. It was one of the most underrated shows in the last
year. You can find it like Hulu or Amazon or something?
I think you can. If you just type in Banshee
you'll find it.
Yeah.
And it's the name of the town. It's a Banshee, Colorado, or Banshee, Wyoming.
We've all been really into Love Island, UK.
I know.
Super into that. Me and my girl are super into that. And then, I got so into Yellowstone, I went to fucking Montana.
We gave it 2 episodes. We couldn't get into it.
It's slow, but the first episode's super slow.
And that first episode, slow.
I know.
Maybe I should give it another chance.
4 and 5, you're fucking... Dude, I went to vacation Montana because of it.
It's hard enough to convince friends to watch certain shows.
I know.
And then you tell them, give it 3 episodes. It's like, oh.
There's a reason why that show's so big.
I know. The show is huge, and everyone recommended it. I'm going to give it another shot, but it took me 3 tries to get into Dexter.
I know. I get it.
Dexter was weak the first. I mean, it took me
forever. It takes a while. Dexter's fucking great, though.
And then it ends so fucking horribly,
too. It's terrible.
Hey, everybody. I want to take a quick moment, take a pause in the show, and talk to you a little bit about Waterford Irish Single Malt Whiskey. This is an exceptional, different farm to glass, grain to glass, single farm, single origin Irish whiskey that sets itself apart and does everything it can to prove that terroir in whiskey is a real thing. You can check it out at glassrev.com/Waterford today. Cheers. I know we've talked about it a little bit offline. Have you decided what you're going to do? Are we staying here? Or are you going to
stay?
You're staying?
I'm staying. I have this fighter mentality where there's a part of me, how everybody's leaving, I kind of feel like it's some bitch shit, man.
Yeah, you just know? Write it out.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, my guys are here. For me to do that, to move, like, it's a big operation, man. And, you know, Theo's in Nashville. Even though he flies back, we shoot King and Sting.
Really couldn't believe he left.
Yeah, but he flies back all the time. He doesn't know what he's really going to do yet. But he's leaning towards Nashville. But we'll make King and Sting work. And then I love L.A., man. I fucking love L.A. It's going to bounce back. And, you know, my kid is going to get into this school we really want to get into. Where I'm at, like, that school system's so fucking good. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to stick it out.
Yeah.
And then once things get popping, like, listen, as me and Chappelle say, how long are we going to pretend that L.A. is not the best spot for stand-up comedy? You know, so if I were to go to Nashville, go to Texas, these guys can try and convince me all they want that stand-up's going to be great out there. It ain't going to be L.A. Comedy store's going to be popping. Yeah. Improv, Laugh Factory.
Well, especially
the Ice House is now owned by the Buss family, the Lakers family. They put all this money into it, like...
LA's
this is my home, dude.
Advertised for the past few years of being the best spot.
Yeah.
So I get the decision. I totally respect it. It wouldn't be the same unless you all left. So it'd have to be all of y'all, right? The show would
change. Oh, everyone would all agree. We've talked about it, though. Me and Chin have talked about it.
But
I'm not going. I'm not going. Yeah. I put my roots down even more here. You know, I bought another home for my in-laws. So, yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. This is what Jack's
the next plan.
Trim it up. No. Step. It was about. Yeah, no, I lost my train of thought. It's the whiskey. That's what's.
Oh, yeah, I was like, look at this dude. See, he was trying to tell me.
No. That's what Jack's for, to trim it up. No. I was thinking of Chin, and it was a question I had for him, but I lost it.
How long have you been singing?
Yeah. Well, no. Appreciate the assist.
I'm nervous for you to send you that bottle of Thick Tiger whiskey.
Oh, I think that's what it was. Yeah, I was gonna, because you mentioned that. So what?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it yet, but we have like some of the most brilliant minds and whiskey heads and bourbon heads, like blending this together, and they sent me samples, and I'll send you a sample.
Oh, dude, can't wait.
And when I got the sample, I'm like, fuck, it's good.
So if you say it's good, I believe you, because we've
talked. Good. It's good. Now, you know, we like the high end stuff, and it's in the middle there, right? So, you know, you don't want to go too high where you kind of price out all your fan base, and you don't go too low where nobody respects it. So it's in the middle. You look at, you know, $50.
Oh, it's a great price point.
And then we'll release like special editions, which are going to be like $100. But to the main like anchor is going to be $50. I mean, Costco's, we got worldwide distribution.
Oh, dude.
Like we're talking
killer.
Yeah man.
So there's a, I always forget his name. He was in, he's not on ESPN. He's a Fox. Terry, thank you. You know exactly what I'm going to say. So Terry Bradshaw, most celebrity whiskeys tend to price themselves out of the category.
It doesn't make sense.
I'll give you a great example. You can buy a 13-year-old Dickel Bald and Bond for $35. That same company did one for Peyton Manning. It's called Blue Sweetens Cove. It's still 13 years old. It's $250.
But those guys don't, no, they don't have their ear to the ground, right? Like, unless, so Peyton Manning, you know, with the $100 million contract, it's like, I'm not one of those guys. I'm a genuine whiskey lover. I'm obsessed with it. And it's like, you know, I think if you go too high, people are like, oh, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it, man.
Yeah, Sweetens Cove, everyone makes fun of it.
They're putting, you know, my play, obviously I'm an owner in it. I'm in partners with these guys. You know, so the marketing and all that comes from my side of the thing. So I'm excited.
Terry Bradshaw released a bourbon this year, and it's a decent proof.
Yeah,
And it's $50. And those, if you get a decent enough proof, you don't want to do 80 proof. If it's got a bump in proof and it's a decent price, you can launch a brand off celebrity, but it has to be, you got to find value. You got to find a spot. Mm.
Yeah. And my thing towards them is like, I don't want it to be called, you know, the Schaub whiskey or something like that. Like, I think it needs to live on its own, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to that law firm. Cause, this is,
yeah, you come on, bro.
Texas whiskey. Yeah. We're with you. We're on the Texas whiskey now. I was just thinking about that. I could still smell a little bit of a Jack Daniels in there.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Yeah. It's strong. It's nice though. It's nice. Nice.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's Texas single malt. That's that. And we do things turned up to 11.
These amps go to 11. Yeah. Factor 50. Are you doing that one?
Yeah. So have you like scotch at all?
Yeah. I like scotch.
Yeah. Okay. I brought a couple special things from Signatory.
Yeah.
They're one of the most exciting things in spirits right now because everything's at cask strength.
Which you love.
Which I love. Mm. And everything's got a beautiful age statement on it. So this right here, 1997, it is 20 years old. Mm. 20 years old. Cask strength selection. So if you're a fan of scotch, which I definitely am.
We were in Boise and we were at some steakhouse out there and they had a fucking list, man. You'd have been impressed. I meant to send you a picture. But they had a bunch of Pappy Van Winkle's.
What was it?
Pappy Van Winkle.
You know what it says?
It's really expensive.
Yeah.
I think it's overrated. But.
And we've got one more after this that I actually... Oh, wow. What year were you born, Chin?
77.
Oh, I think you said 78.
You asked me how old I was. I said 42.
I'll double check here. Let me see.
When's your birthday, Chin?
April
17th. 77. I tried to Google it. I think...
sweet, man.
It's 77. It's 77. Mm. So I found this old bourbon. This was bottled the year you were born.
No way.
Yeah. Dude. So what I like to do is birth year bottles. And if I, you know, I'm really excited to meet you two. And I would have brought you a birth year bottle, but I know you didn't drink.
Hey, I would have taken it. I would have gave it to someone else. Best,
though, you know, I would have drank it.
So yeah, I buy a lot from auction of old vintage bottles. So this was the liquid's been in this bottle your entire life.
I love that.
But you can't drink that, no?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Oh.
What do you think you brought it for? Stare at it?
Yeah, so the great thing about, see, wine has a lot of...
come on, Doug. We didn't come here to stare at the bottle. You imagine he's like, yeah, that was.
Hey, that's good. What I'm doing. Yeah, I'm just staring at the bottle.
He doesn't want us to try his shit. He's like, yeah, this one's cool.
This is for you, so I'm just going to put this right here.
I'm staring at him.
The great thing about like wine, there's yeast and bacteria and stuff that continue to change. Whiskey's the opposite. It is literally, you put it in bottle. The biggest concern is evaporation will cause it to condense a little bit. But you as long as it's clear like this, that could be sitting in the bottle for 100 years. In fact, fucking Brian doubted me on that ginger brandy that's 115 years old.
That one's fantastic.
That ginger was fantastic. That was bottled in 1905. And that's insane. Brian didn't believe me.
Yeah.
But we drank it.
It's like, why would you lie?
I mean, it was our favorite of the day.
We had a great time.
It's
great.
Yeah.
So this was bottled the year you were born. And I thought, you know, we can crack it and celebrate you. And, you know.
Thank you so much. It's so sweet.
And you can take it home, too. So
that's awesome.
It'll be pretty cool. So this is the...
It's Kentucky.
Yeah. Old yeah. Kentucky,
it's
too.
It's so close. Yeah. 77.
I lived in Louisville.
There's a lot of racism in that bottle. Let's be real. Let's just call it what it is. Let's
call it what it is.
How long are we going to pretend?
What year again? 1970?
1917 or whatever the fuck it is. You know how racist that bottle is?
But, I mean,
it's good, though.
To be fair, racism's never tasted so good. Yeah. it's really good. It's old racism. Yeah.
Well, cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, so 20-year-old scotch. Yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
I love all these, man.
They really take
actually, if you think about it, this was bottled in 97. It's 20 years old, right? Is that right? Did I get that right? Where's it at?
97.
It's distilled in 97. I was about to say, so 20 years before that would be 77, which would have been
awesome. Hey, how many shows are you doing today? Just two?
No, I promise. Yeah,
you're
going to
be lit as fuck.
No, I know, right? Believe it or not, I do this quite a bit, and I'm fine. I just brain farts.
Do you shoot multiple shows in Houston?
Yeah, so
it's a lot, right?
I did Steve Trevino, and then right after Matthew McConaughey the same day, and then and I was fine.
Matthew McConaughey has his own liquor too, right?
So he partnered with Wild Turkey.
That's right.
And they did
he's like the face of Wild Turkey.
He's the face of Wild Turkey.
And also like Chrysler or some shit.
Lincoln. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It makes me not want a Lincoln.
Yeah.
And I love him, but the commercials are so lame.
They're so stupid.
Yeah, he's like playing pool, and she's all, "Oh my god!" He's like, "Yeah, you want to go ride my Chrysler 300?"
Lincoln.
Yeah, stuck on Chrysler.
Chrysler owns Lincoln.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he.
They're both lame as fuck.
He's actually quite human, quite down to earth. In his book, in his memoir, he talks about having a couple of wet dreams that changed his life as adult. As an adult, he would have a wet dream, and then it made him like go to the Amazon and float the Amazon River and find it, do some peyote.
Yeah, that's a lie, but that's a cool book. That's for sure a bullshit lie. Listen, I got to write a book soon here, and I'll probably make up some shit.
So we pitched to him what he should do next of Wild Turkey. We had an idea called call his next whiskey called Nocturnal Revelations.
That's cool.
Just to kind of pitch that.
That's a great name.
It's a play on the wet dream thing, and it's a great name for a whiskey. And I was like, you know, what is that? How salty is that whiskey?
Yeah, right? That's cool.
He had a wet dream as an adult.
Yeah.
Total bullshit. Yeah. Let's be honest.
It sells books. Yeah. I love him, though. He went on a huge campaign for that.
He did my show.
He did yours. He did Rogan. He was on... Armchair Expert with Dak Shepard. He was on fucking Marin.
You
tell him and Marin didn't know each other, so it was
awkward. Did Hot Ones too.
He did Hot Ones, yeah.
When are you going to do Hot Ones?
I don't know. Whenever they ask me, man. I did a show for Complex, and then I've done a few things for Complex. Whenever they ask me. I don't think I'm famous enough for Hot Ones.
I don't agree.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
we're friends, so I appreciate that.
Well,
you also called Malik a celebrity, so
I know, right? Yeah,
I really like Malik. Yeah, he's such a nice guy. His aversion to alcohol is actually more interesting to me than yours, because at least there's a backstory.
His is
there.
Annoying.
His is he never does drugs or alcohol. Just because?
Well, because he was
Jack's too. Like I
get I don't get the start living, dude. So he's what the fuck? You're missing out on some great things in life, man. Like with Malik, like when you're an athlete, I didn't really drink either at all or do drugs. But then it's like, Malik, you're a comic now, dude.
Yeah.
Why are you still eating like this?
Well, he
eats like a fucking
bird. Yeah. Well, we'll sit down. You know, I get their whiskey list. I order some good shit. Me and my brother do. We get doubles and chins there. We get a bunch of whiskey going. And he'll go, "Do you have any Shirley Temples?"
So yeah, like, he'll like Shirley Temple.
I tell him like that pisses me off, dude.
Apple juice.
He's putting ketchup on Wagyu dry aged steak.
You have no idea.
It's the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent
him. He got pot pie at a fucking steakhouse.
Yeah. I sent him a bottle of ketchup because I was like, I got to give everybody something. I found out
and
he didn't
went,
drink.
Who's this for?
Who else is it for? Yeah, especially the sticky note on it. I didn't know that you didn't
your
drink.
Name's on the bottle.
And so I sent
you. What'd you send? You sent some
a bottle
champagne?
Of Booker's. No, it's in a champagne style bottle, but it's bourbon.
Yeah, I drank that.
They drank it.
Yeah, I didn't know that you didn't drink it until then. And Brandon's like, nah,
I would have liked to keep the bottle.
I appreciate it though. I drank it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to keep the bottle.
Send him some ketchup. Malik, I don't know how old is he? 20 something?
28,
29? I don't know. He looks young.
For someone so, I hate to say hip or cool, he's no life experience, like no food, no
nothing.
Yeah, like he's very
little.
He likes
very vanilla shit. He doesn't.
It was the most random shit. I remember one time
he wears sweats every day, the skinniest sweats we've ever seen.
Every day. Never seen him in jeans. We were driving. We were driving from
wheelchair
here.
Legs.
Yeah, wheelchair legs. We were driving from here.
Well, the reason I came up with that is because he was talking to me like
wheelchair.
I was like, Doug, you look like you've been in a wheelchair since you were 18.
He got hit by a truck.
We were laughing
for sure.
So hard. He was like, me? I'm like, yeah, bitch. Yeah, so you sit like this.
Yeah. But anyway, so we were driving from LA to Arizona. He wanted me to stop to get something to eat. And it's like when I first like met him, like we were, you know, we were going to do some shows out there. And I stopped to get something to eat. We go to the spot, and he just got tater tots.
It's frustrating.
I said, why the fuck did you have me stop for tater tots? Tater fucking tots.
I'll tell you what's weird. It's like when I first got in the game, right? Like Brian.
Just and, tater tots?
Not
to,
yeah.
It's like Brian, Chris D'Elia, Rogan, Segura, Kreischer. Like they all took me under their wing and put me on game. And then I find myself not purposely, but trying to help out Malik and you, but especially Malik, because he's such a good looking guy. He's a good looking dude. He's a really good looking dude. So
I'm over here trying to talk.
When we go to certain,
nice white fellow over here.
I know,
right? Yeah.
When we go in certain cities, obviously women are attracted to Malik, and
he's just a pretty boy.
I'm like, dude,
he's fun and he's easygoing, and
people
nice.
Love him. People fucking love Malik. I'm like, it's a blessing and a curse, man. Like heavy lies the crown. Like you got to navigate this the right way.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's good. I mean, at least he's not, you know, fucking up and ruining his life.
He's not. He's not. We have some good talks.
Yeah,
I think this is where him and I are similar with our athletic backgrounds is he's very coachable. So, you know, he's never done the theater really. So he does a lot of crowd work and people love him. He puts the crowd on fire. But I went, we're doing a theater in Boise, man. Your crowd work's not going to work. You got to write material. I need you to have 10 minutes of material. So that weekend he went with Chappelle and did no crowd work. I sent him a text and went, I'm telling you, dude, when you get to Boise, because in a theater, other people, the part of the fun of crowd work is the whole audience is in on the joke.
Right.
In a theater, they can't see. It's so big, they can't see them. So you got to work your material. And also, once LA opens back up, you can't just do crowd work. I need you to do material like a real comic. He took that to heart. Did your shows in Phoenix.
Yeah,
crushed. Came to Boise. Fucking crushed.
Annihilated.
That's how you know that potential and who he is. He's a nice guy. He doesn't have any like weird things that may come back to bite him in the ass later.
No. Yeah.
Like he's just a nice
Works
guy.
Works hard. Yeah. Good guy.
Well, think about it. Like I said, he's only been doing it like 3 years. How many 3-year comics do you know that are on like, you know, a massive, you know,
Brendan.
Podcast? Like,
yeah. Just me. Well, no, I was at the time.
Well, it's a rarity.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Sure. It's like a rarity. Like not every comic 3 years in. Like, shit, me 3 years in, I don't fucking...
Yeah.
You know?
And he's just such a good dude.
I did an open mic one time.
There you go.
Killed it. Great 5 minutes.
Nice.
And it was... So it gave me false confidence. I went back to do it a second time. I ate a big old bag of dicks.
Yeah.
And I'll never do it again. it was so sobering.
That's comedy,
because
my friends
were so supportive, and it was about me getting a vasectomy and going in and... You know, like just kind of getting things assessed and very emasculating.
Yeah.
How that whole thing's done. And my wife was there. She wanted to ask her questions that she had.
Yeah.
And it killed. And then I went back and told the story about my daughter and my teenage daughter. I told the story last time. You
were sweating up there?
Yeah.
There's nothing like a bomb.
There's nothing like a bomb.
I had two sets at the, this is 4 or 5 years ago, I had two sets at the improv. Went the first set, ate all the dicks, and I was in my car, and I didn't want to go in there. And D'Elia comes over, knocks on the window, goes, what the fuck are you doing? Because he's on the show. And I was like, what? I'm like, dude, I don't want to go in there, man. He's like, you better get the fuck in there. He's like, we all do this, man. He's like, even if you eat dick, you got to get back up there.
Nah.
Yeah.
See, my mentality with it was like, you know, the first time I ever went up, crushed it. And you want that feeling again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually you hit that bomb.
It's
and then
so I was empowering, like, too.
And then I was like, I got to redeem myself. So it's this constant,
yes.
You know, play of like, you know, I want that feeling of doing good. But if I bomb, I want that feeling of like redeeming myself. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a constant chase, which I think is good.
It's got to be. It's like my brother-in-law, Sean, I have always been a good pool player and really proud of it. Had a little too much to drink one night and he was crushing me like 6 games in.
Damn.
I'm losing all 6 games. And I was like, no, 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 no. Rack him up. Let's do it again. Like,
yeah.
I was convinced, but that's that's one thing. It's not in front of 50 people or 100 people.
Yeah.
I'll never do it again.
But
I respect you so much for being able
but,
to
but
do
I
it.
Think every comic can relate, because when you get into the game, you hear every comic go, oh, I bombed, or Louis C.K.'s infamous quote, you know, you got to bomb 10,000 times for your real comic, which I don't believe in. But if you're bombed 10,000 times, probably in the wrong gig. But, you know, every comic says, you know, every comic has that story where they bombed and then came back and fully redeemed themselves.
I mean, the thing, my fourth set ever, the whole crowd was just cussing at me.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
You know? And I was drunk on stage while turkey night. Huh?
Yeah. I really love, side note, I respect you so much more. Wild Turkey is very well loved in the bourbon community. It's one of those ones that you all drink when you're 20, but it's still.
You know what's
it's
so good, funny about it? The thing, like the first time I had Wild Turkey, I say I was probably 13, 14 years old.
Way too early for that.
I know, way too early. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I think I saw my first boobs.
But I had it, and like, you know, it was just a thing that like stuck with me. It wasn't even the fact that like I'm this like whiskey or bourbon type of guy.
No,
it
was that
just
was
like
your first.
Wild Turkey was the thing.
It's still the thing.
What a great name.
Great name. You know the story behind that?
No.
Yeah, so.
Assuming someone had a Wild Turkey.
Was it 1940s? It stemmed from an annual hunting trip where they used to go hunting. And then it's still family oriented. The oldest master still, Jimmy Russell, is still there. He's been 60 years in the business. His son is now the master distiller, and then Eddie Russell's son is now our age, and he's going to be the next in line.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it's a complete dynasty.
Oh, I love it.
Whiskey.
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, Wild Turkey, I'm telling you, is great. But I'm sorry, go back to you were being yelled at.
Wild Turkey?
Before Wild, you said you were drunk on stage. You were
fourth time ever you're drunk.
Oh, man, I was drunk on stage.
Doing backflips and shit.
The audience was just, I didn't do a backflip on stage.
Wait, you fucked up.
Trying to save it.
Yeah, I fucked up.
Trying to save it.
I fucked
up. If I was bombing, I'd be like,
Bro, it was so funny. I rolled
up. Fuck y'all.
I rolled up. It was like this, it was like a weird setup, man. It was like, there was bands that played.
Where was this at?
In back home in Arizona.
Word.
And there was these bands that played, that were playing this show. And I thought I was going to open up the show. But no, the bands had played. And then a DJ came on, so it turned into like a dance thing, which everybody's into.
And then came on.
Then they cut the music.
What a nightmare!
I know the story.
Oh my god!
People trying to get turned up.
And you were like,
as soon as I grabbed the mic, I knew it was going to be a disaster.
You were set up for failure.
I was supposed to do this like dope interview after. I didn't even do the interview.
No, how could you?
Well,
get the fuck out of here! I'm with them. I would have booed you too.
Oh, dude, it was bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to grind on my girl.
Still, hands down, the worst set that I've ever had.
Surprised you didn't quit after that.
Nah, that was
better than Phoenix Thursday night.
But you know what that made me do? That made me, I was like, I'll never drink before a show ever again.
Oh, good for you.
And that's what, you know.
The very first time I kissed a girl, it went so badly, I wondered, like, I'm never going to do it again. I'm like, I wonder.
Were you like, maybe it'll go better with
that?
Yeah,
men. Maybe it'll go better with that. It was just so bad, and it was in front of her best friend.
Why was it bad? How did you fuck that up?
So
she had braces?
We were behind. I'll never fucking forget this, too. Sixth grade. We were dating, and she was like, you going to kiss me or what? That's what she said. You going to kiss me or what? And I leaned in, and you know when you hug somebody, but you hug like a bro, and you go one over the top, one over the back?
Yeah.
And that's what I did for the kiss. I went in and hugged over the top, over
awkward.
The back. And gave her the kiss, and she literally said at 12 years old, what the fuck was that?
Oh!
And it was...
What a savage.
Was
she a bigger girl?
By the way, I'm still friends with her. Her life has gone horribly. to this day, I'm like,
joke's on you, bitch.
Joke's on you. What the fuck was that?
She's
on her third marriage. So I'm like, you fucking bitch.
That's what the fuck it was, dumbass.
Your first kiss was in sixth grade?
Sixth grade.
My first was in sixth grade, too.
Mine was not.
To your story,
dude,
it was a mixed girl. Mixed girl at Aurora Hills, Aurora Hills High School, Aurora Hills Middle School.
We'll get back to that.
Shout out to the Mustangs. But I'm kissing her, and my friend Cameron, she was like the dime piece, blonde ass titties in sixth grade.
Right.
in sixth
that
grade.
So weird. What did that look like?
I don't even know. Yeah. There probably wasn't much there, but we thought she was the bomb. She looked like Beyonce at the time. And I remember she had curly hair, and we start like,
And
my friend pulls my pants down from everybody.
Oh, damn.
That was my first kiss, pulled my pants down.
Well, that's great.
Wait, so you got that sixth grade penis too? Like it's not.
Yeah, you know when you're making out with a girl. Yeah, I mean cool, you're. Cool.
Your first kiss was at 20.
Hold on, so you did 20.
No.
Pass out. Your underwear came down too, or just the
penis? My dick came out. Oh, everyone's like, oh my god,
sixth grade penis, 20 years old.
Yeah, 20s.
20, huh? Late bloomer, eh?
Late bloomer for sure. Remember, I was like, I was super overweight. I was so insecure.
Yeah, I know, but even 20 is a little surprising.
What are you,
Rob Kardashian?
There's chubby kids getting first kisses.
23.
So everyone out there who hasn't had
you had your first drink before you could.
I didn't even drink. I was so like straight edge. So I drank when I was like exactly.
Well, you thought you were going to be BTS.
Yeah,
right? So I was in a boy band. Like yeah. too, so. 285 pounds, boy band.
Yeah. No, the boy band came afterwards.
Well,
I was in a heavy metal band when I was heavy.
And just for.
Yeah, you were so single.
They accepted me.
Playing the bass at 285, just heavy metal.
Yeah, lead guitar, bro. Lead guitar.
Lead guitar. Oh, okay.
Respect for bassist, though.
Fuck yeah. Dude.
Speaking of 23. That insane story of 23. Was a girl, right?
Yes,
just being sure. let's pour the last one, and then I want to talk about shoes.
Oh, just bring it, dog. What's up, dog? Chappelle, show them your kicks.
All right.
We both got some Union. Shout out to Union. They're a company based in LA. They did a collab with Jordan. You got the Union 4s on. I got the Union Jordan 1 LA edition on.
Is that what you got?
Yep.
Look at them get it. Poor me.
1977. It's eight years old, so it's distilled.
Dog, I got to hook you up with some kicks.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
He wants to smell.
You got those Ed O'Neill kits on.
Al Bundy's.
You got the married with children kits on, bro.
What the fuck?
You got the Modern Family edition on.
Chappelle, you better slow your roll because you just started wearing good shoes.
Oh, yeah, he did.
You just started wearing good shoes.
Yeah. He follows everything. Yeah. He knows everything.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm a fan of the show, man.
That's so cool.
That's why I run shit by him. Like, I was like, dude, what do you think of the show?
I sent
him the intro song, like, dog, check this out.
Dude, so that's
kind of... We got a new studio being built right now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's one of the things I love about you guys. That I relate to y'all in a lot of ways. I relate to you in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Your shoes, your slip-on shoes... Bro, I'm in the slip-on dad life for the last couple of years.
I get it.
I brought a pair of dress shoes that don't go with this outfit, and I almost wore them.
What size shoe do you wear?
I knew he was 13.
You wear 13?
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Oh, dude.
Married 15 years, bro.
You wear 13?
Yeah.
Oh, you're fucked, Papa.
What do you mean?
I have so many 13s I don't rock. I'm going to send you a box of shit.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I wear 13.
So I reached out to your guy, Dankfels?
Yeah, that's
J.W.
my guy.
Dankfels?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's based in San Antonio.
Yeah,
which,
Texas
by the
based.
Way, like I try to rep Houston, but between the Hotel Emma and the shoe guy being in San Antonio.
San Antonio's the best.
It's San Antonio, and I lived there for a year. It's basically Houston, same layout, small loop, big loop.
Yes.
But just more peaceful. It's just chill.
I love it out there.
So
I can't believe you wear 13.
He's building some shoes for me. Two pairs.
Some Whiskey Peep editions?
Yeah, so I got the little cartoon guy, right? Yeah. So you got the little cartoon Whiskey Peep guy.
Was he doing Jordan 1s or Dunks or something?
I think Jordan 1s.
Yep.
There you go. Because
I like a little bit of a high top. I like a little bit of an ankle on it.
Yeah.
And so he's building a pair that have like the color scheme and then like a more dressy pair. And love it's it. My first run at like... I mean, I'm a dress shoe guy.
Bro, I'm going to send you a box. Slip-ons. I'm going to send you a box of dope fucking kicks.
Well, I'll send Suburban and Chain.
Yes,
you know,
let's do it.
We'll trade.
Got a 13. I always tell everybody, I go, who wears a 13?
Yeah.
The only friend I have that wears a 13 is D'Elia, but he gets the same kicks I do. So
so you're not sending him anything new?
No, he's fucking rich, so I don't send him shoes.
I've always been a big dress
he's a
shoe
kick
guy.
No, I got you. And Jordan 1s are your favorite?
Well,
oh my God,
I like
you.
A little bit of a
yeah, these
a
are Jordan 1s. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, those are good. Those
oh,
are,
I got you.
I like the Jordan 1s.
I like a little bit of a heel on it or a high top on it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I'm getting into it.
I got you.
2020 has been rough for a lot of people, but it's been a pretty good year for all Whiskey Pete.
For sure. Dude, how about how the whole squad stepped their shoe game up? Malik.
Yeah.
Justin Everybody. Brings it. Yeah. Stevie. Chappelle.
Yeah.
Malik's got to work on that watch game, though, from what I hear. By the way, one of the best guests you've ever had. Joe Coy is just so fucking funny.
He's great.
His subtle brag flex thing is so fun to watch.
People don't
man.
Realize. It's weird, too. I don't know if people realize how big he is. Like, he sells, right? Besides, he might sell more tickets than Joe Rogan. Like,
oh,
there's
mean,
Kevin Hart, and then, you know, there's like fucking Joe Coy.
Yeah.
Like, as far as ticket sales,
fluffy.
Like,
he's like fluffy. It's all
even
arenas.
More so. Like, he's doing, he sold out where the Golden State Warriors played twice. Or four times?
Yeah.
He sold out Brea Improv 16 times. The most sold outs ever. He's such a big deal. Chappelle's opened up for him. Joe Coy texted me, was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago, something like
he
that.
He keeps texting me like, dude, I'm in studio, chill. You sound like a thirsty hoe right now. So then he calls me. He's like, hey, man, I'm in Phoenix. I know Chappelle's from here. Would you be down to open up for me? I'm like, fuck, hell yeah, he would.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's your hometown. You got the support.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
This bourbon it's is gonna be so fun. Good.
So you're driving out there on Friday.
Thank you, man. Seriously.
Yeah, so... Old bourbon can be both hit or miss. So, you know.
Wait, I didn't smell this one. Did I smell it?
Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
How dare
no, I didn't. I know what I do when I do it. You know?
I handed it to you before I... Oh, that's how old it is. It's having troubles.
Dude, you remember that like Civil War whiskey you gave me?
Yeah, yeah, the one you really didn't like? Good, yeah. The Old Log Cabin?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't that great. And I cut my finger trying to open it.
God, and remember the cap? The fucking cork?
It was a weird cork. Yeah.
Well, it was 100 something years old.
It was 1917. So, yeah, it was 100.
Yeah, we had like, was it whiskey or bourbon? It's from 1917.
It was a bourbon.
It was a bourbon from 1917.
It was pre-World War II.
Like the Civil War or some shit like that.
So cool.
It is.
Like, just so you think about how far back it goes, yeah.
Yeah, but it tasted like fucking Abe Lincoln's assistant. Pissed in this bottle, dude. It was so intense.
It was so intense. The great old vintage bourbons go for crazy money. Like, those old Wild Turkeys, like, even from 91, is like $500-$600. And when it sold for like $5 a bottle. Really, really great, like 1950s, 1960s, $4,000 a bottle. But if you get something from pre-World War II, like that bottle was $1,200.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not worth $1,200.
It was cool, though.
It was
cool. Just cool to drink.
It's a piece of history.
Yeah,
it was more like the
I felt more educated after I drank it.
Yeah. Winston Churchill's great-grandson used to, we flew him in to do, we have a whiskey festival in Houston.
Thanks for them, Mike.
And we found a bottle of scotch from World War II and opened it with him. So we got to drink World War. It was bottled.
What's he do now, though?
Oh, he died. Yo,
he's a DJ.
He died.
Oh, he died.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, he has the same hereditary disease as a lung disease that his great grandfather had.
Oh, fuck.
And he had two babies, your kid's age.
Oh, no.
And when
this
I found
really
how old
sad.
Is what,
when
what
I,
was he?
40.
Fuck. Yeah, was he out of shape?
Dad bod normal.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Just a little bit, not ton.
Do he look like his great grandfather?
No. Much better shape than his great grandfather. But he did live off that name. He would write books and go around for speeches and stuff. And he was a continuation of the family
That's
legacy.
It's a weird life. Yeah.
And it was so bad. And oh, rest in peace. His family, I think, has like permanent health care from the UK, but he moved here.
Yeah. Mm.
So towards the when he got real sick, he had to fly back alone
to get the healthcare.
His wife and kids stayed here.
Oh my god.
And he died over there.
Oh.
So he couldn't even say goodbye to
what
his wife.
What a terrible
and kids.
Story.
Wait, he recently just died?
About a year and a half ago.
I thought he was a DJ.
No. So we got to
Winston Churchill. That'd be sick.
That'd be sick.
Rest in peace, though, for real. I'm not making fun of him, but also, it'd be cool if he was a DJ.
Yeah. He dropped it
out. He's in Ibiza. Yeah, that'd be sick.
Eat, like Idris Elba. Well, listen. Thank you so much for. I'm sorry about the time shift and we got it all worked out, but.
Dude, no worries, man. Thursday's my light day.
Y'all coming. And Chappelle. If you decide to ever get around to dipping your toes in the pool again, I'd like to be there for that.
No, he said he's going to relapse on Tiger Thick whiskey.
Yeah. Just don't call it a relapse, though. Yeah.
It's 2021 tour is called The Relapse with Chappelle.
Yeah. The relapse tour.
I'll say that the fact that you haven't relapsed in like 7 years.
No.
The fact, I'm not trying to downplay it. Please.
No.
Everybody come here.
No, I think this is important information to know because, you know what, I think. Especially when it comes to people that don't want to drink, there's so much pressure and that fear of like there's times where I'll have nightmares about drinking. I'll wake up and I'm like, what the fuck? Did I do it?
Yeah.
But like, I mean,
that's a good
to take that kind of pressure off of people, you know what I mean?
Nightmare? What kind of nightmare is that?
And that's my goal. I think there's a lot of...
nightmare.
I think there's a
Sounds
lot of
fantastic.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of stigma and fear around not understanding what alcoholism is.
And I think that's what it is
and
too.
The fact that you've done it and you quit so permanently at 7 years and haven't really been tempted, that's a good sign.
Don't get me wrong, them first couple years, tough as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like a diet.
Yeah.
Once you get past a few couple days, you're in cruise control.
Yeah, I'd say probably what? I think it's been like 7 years, probably the first 3 years.
Oof.
It was tough. You know how hard that is?
Yeah.
It's just fucking, like, you know.
A lot
you see that Wild Turkey bottle?
Did your girl drink at all?
Very rare. But like, I'd be in, I mean, because not a lot of places carry wild turkey, like bars and stuff.
Yeah.
Some bars really? Don't like.
It should be a staple.
It's pretty popular.
I think it's
yeah.
a staple.
It's
pretty,
but I don't
You're
think
hanging
it's in
some
like
trash
every...
bars. Wild turkey's pretty popular.
I would
You're
go to some trash
some bullshit.
Bars. But yeah, I think
Shout
there,
to
is,
JT's
a,
out
I think there is like a thing to like help people to understand it.
Sure.
And that's what and, I agree with.
And
that.
I'd rather, I think there's a lot of stigma around everything, porn, sex, drugs,
food.
Yeah. And I think, and I had these guys, these two doctors on, and they were doing in the middle of two studies with veterans that have issues, and there are a lot of issues in drinking and with veterans. And they dispelled a lot of misunderstanding around the concept of alcoholism. So it's something that I don't want to. I definitely don't want to be perceived as me trying to tempt you.
We don't
you.
Push you to drink, but let's
if,
get going.
If you decide...
this fucking guy.
We're not. I'm with him.
No, you're not.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know
like
what
the angel
I didn't know what the message was. I'm trying to support him.
This reminds me of that Chappelle sketch where like Barack Obama was saying something...
That's
clean.
Key and Peele. Yeah.
And then, or Key and Peele.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell
Dave
Chappelle you said that, by the
He's
way.
He's like, yeah, what he said, what he meant was.
Yeah. You have the Barack Obama straight edged, and I want to be politically correct, and I want to be careful.
Yeah, and I don't give a fuck.
And he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. That is an interesting take. Most people aren't aware of that.
Yeah. There's a lot of beauty, and a lot of people do this full time for a living, and I do it for a job, and I drink every day. And so it's something that I, especially with kids, I don't want to be an alcoholic. So, it's on my mind a lot, and I'll take breaks. And if you take a break and it's easy and you're not tempted, that's a good sign.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
yeah, my liver hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day. Well, I ride my bike, I'm like, God, my liver's sore. Well, it's great. Yeah, I love it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For doing this. I had a great time. I wish we could hang out more.
When's this drop?
This will drop probably a couple weeks, next week. Yeah, we'll probably push William H. Macy's back a little bit.
Where this me and Chappelle and Malik will be in Palm Beach.
Yeah, yeah. Palm
Beach,
Beach
oh,
yeah.
Florida. Palm Beach,
next
Florida
week?
Improv. December 29th through January 2nd.
Oh, we'll drop it
so,
that week.
Yeah, get rid of this shitty New Year and bring it in with us, man.
Yeah, I think that's the... So 2 weeks from now, I think it's the 21st. So it's the third week, three weeks from now.
Real quick, before we go, I know you got these other celebrities coming in. you're very loose with the term celebrities. But...
you're the best with the drink.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Yeah, I get loose. But do you do Elf on the Shelf with the kids?
So we did. And
it's the only way to keep them little fucks in line.
It
man.
Backfired.
Yeah, my kid would do something. I'm like, dude, the elf's watching,
it,
bro.
It backfired. We put so our two oldest, when they were about seven, we put Elf on a Shelf in their. They left it in the kitchen, and then when they were playing outside, we moved to her bedroom and put a knife in his hand.
Oh my
joke.
God!
It was a joke. It seemed funny at the time.
Oh, wow,
so,
you fucked up.
So when she
You're
went,
terrified.
When she went to bed, there was, the elf is in her bed with a knife.
Too much, man.
It backfired.
Oh, right, God,
yeah,
too much.
It backfired.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun, but then we covered the elves in blood and we gave them knives.
You know, chopped the head off.
It didn't go well. So we have not done it with the two little ones yet.
Oh, dude, in December when Elf on the Shelf, I know my son's gonna be good because he's crazy, right? I'll go, dude, the elf's watching, and he will shut it down. He will get in line because he knows he won't get any fucking presents if the elf is watching, you know?
One last thing before we go, sometimes you'll tell stories about Tiger in Boston saying something that just is so cute, and I thought of you
son of a bitch. Oh man,
totally random, but my son, he's got this sing-songy kind of angel-like voice at 4 years
old.
Yeah,
I love it.
And he came in and he asked if our heads have skulls in them.
Love it.
And I thought of you immediately.
I love it.
Just the cuteness. He's like, Mommy, does my head have
skulls? Yeah,
skull
I love it.
That?
Yeah.
And it's the, and I.
Well, does
dude,
it?
It makes me, yeah. You're yeah. like, just trying to explain to a 4 year old that there's something.
It's so interesting, right? Like when they ask like basic questions where you should.
And it's
know,
pure.
It's pure, but then you also got to take a second to think about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I'm so happy to see you, man.
Oh, I love you, man.
And I got
you know
to
this.
See the beast.
Yeah,
I got to see you pull
the
up in that.
GT2RS,
I heard you two blocks over. You showed up.
My kid will let all his friends know. My dad's the fastest car in the world.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, you're fucking right, dude.
All right, well, let's wrap up and
love you guys, man.
Right. Yeah,
you're the best.
Cheers.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along.
when you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.